Today's daf is Nida Kaf Zayin. We're going to start at the third line on Kaf Zayin Amud Aleph. Amar Rava Bar Shila, Amar Rav Matna, Amar Shmuel. Maaseh v'talu et hashiliyah bavlad ad asara yamim. Remember yesterday we had a whole discussion about if a shiliyah, an afterbirth, happens over some time after, do we assume, there was a whole debate, do we assume that it belongs to the first birth, or do we assume that there was some sort of miscarriage and there was another vlad there? So they bring this case in the name of Shmuel that there was a case where even, right, they said up until 10 days, this Shiliyah was somewhere, I guess they didn't remember because it's a Maaseh, it's not like, but they said it must, you know, within 10 days, they still assumed it was the earlier Vlad. V'lo amru tolin, ela b'shiliyah haba achar havlad. By the way, you can only say that the afterbirth is indicative of the birth that happened, it's connected because it's an afterbirth. But if it happened beforehand and you have some sort of
the previa,
right, something come out before, right, the previa, so then we're going to, you can't assume, we have to assume then that it was a miscarriage and it was a different vlad. Okay, that was the first maaseh. The second maaseh is going to be a little, this isn't yet. Okay, another maaseh. Rabba Bar Chana, Rabbi Yochanan, maaseh v'talu et hashiliyah bavlad ad 23 yamim. Okay, there was a case where 23 days after, they still said it was connected to the original vlad. Amar le Rav Yosef, ad kaf dalet amar talan. Rav Yosef said, hey, you told us once that it was 24 days. Okay, we're going to have the same kind of thing, right? You have the people who are very particular about getting the facts straight. And he said, wait, you told us it was 24. Now, either he means your case is, you made a mistake about the case and it was really 24. Last time you told us 24. It's funny, by the way, Rav Yosef is saying this. He's the one who always forgets and Abai always has to remind him. This, right, this must have been earlier in his life when he wasn't so forgetful. He said, yeah, I remember you told us 24. It could be there was a different case where it was 24, although somewhat coincidental. I don't know how common these cases are. We're going to have this exact same structure now with another case. Okay, so two cases so far, all the same. There was a birth, there was a shiliyah, much, much later, they said it's all connected. We don't assume it's another vlad. But now we have a different case. Amar Rav Acha Bered Rav Avira, Amar Rav Yitzchak, Maaseh v'nishtaha havlad achar chavero 33 yom. There was a case where twins were born at a distance of 23 days apart. Okay, this isn't an afterbirth. This is what we're talking about. Twins were born like this with a huge hefresh. Okay, this can actually happen. It's very rare, but it can actually happen. I remember reading about it once when I was a kid, I remember reading some article, like 21 days later, some woman had a baby. Like, she didn't even know she was still pregnant, you know, and then all of a sudden, a baby comes out. It's definitely possible, very rare, but it's possible.
If they're fraternal and have separate placentas, because presumably the baby's not going to survive if the placenta's
right, gone. Right. So there was this case. Amar le Rav Yosef, Lamed Dalet Amart Lan. Didn't you tell us it was, right, you once told us about this 34 days. Okay, again, he's kind of correcting. So there's this similarity about these two stories, and maybe eventually we're going to end up switching some of the details of some of the stories that seem to have gotten intertwined, because we're going to have a bit of a problem with this 33, 34 days based on the rabbi's assumptions about childbirth. We've talked about this before, that babies can't be born 8 months after, right? There's a bit of a problem with it. So they can be born either within the seventh month or within the ninth month. And now the question is going to be, we're going to learn that even there was a debate into the ninth month or at the end of the ninth month, okay? There's a certain assumptions they had about pregnancy. Again, I don't know where these assumptions came from. Also, I just want to remind you that we pointed out that there was we always count from the woman's last period. They seem to count from the day the woman went to the mikvah. Right, which actually
makes sense.
Right, makes sense, right, in terms of she obviously couldn't be pregnant when she had the last period. Anyway, it's just an interesting point to put out there. So also their timing maybe is a little different also. But anyway, they had this belief, and we're going to have to question this based on their understanding. Hani chalamanda amar yoledet litisha yoledet lemekuta'in. If you say that yoledet litisha could be yoledet lemekuta'in, that means partial month. That means she can give birth any time within the ninth month. Well, then I can understand a case where one was born within a distance of 33 days from the other. How so? Mishkachala achadni, because if they can't, remember, she can't give birth in the eighth month. Otherwise, they wouldn't survive. So one has to be in the seventh month and one has to be in the ninth month, because if you're talking 33 days, it's obviously more than a month. You can't say, okay, there was another assumption. We should just make it clear before we go on. If you're born in the seventh month, everybody agrees that yoledet lemekuta'in, okay, for whatever reason. They believe the baby could be born any time within the seventh month. But within the ninth month, there's a machloket about, do we say yoledet lemekuta'in or do we say not? So if you say ninth month, yoledet lemekuta'in, then we can have this case. Echad nigmar tzurato l'sof shiva. The first one was born at the very end of the seventh month. V'achad nigmar tzurato l'tchilat tisha. And one was born in the ninth month, and they just developed at different rates. Ela lemanda amar yoledet l'tisha eina yoledet l'mekuta'in, and only at the end of the ninth month. Well then, ma'ika l'meimar. You can't possibly explain this case because you can't have a 33-day hefresh where one was born at the end of the seventh month and one was born 33 days later. That would be the beginning of the ninth. There's no way to make this happen. So what do they say? Ipuch shmatata. Oh, you got these two stories confused. Lamigimo l'shilia, kafgimo l'vlad. The 23 days had to do with the birth case. And the 33 days, or again, 23 or 24, depending whether you're Rav Yosef or not, and 33 or 34, and then what would you say? If it's 23 days, well then it was, since everyone agrees, 7th month, Yoled and the Mekuta'in, they were both 7-month babies, one at the beginning of the month, one at the end of the month. Okay, this is how the rabbis kind of tested things according to their system of beliefs about how this stuff worked.
And there was a limited 10 days in between the birth and the placenta.
No, that was a different story. Right? That was a different case. What?
It doesn't matter.
No, so then the placenta story ends up being that 33 days after she gives birth, the placenta or some sort of afterbirth comes out, and they still connected it with the original birth.
But that could be in the
according to that version of the story, right?
They're two separate stories.
But that doesn't, right, that doesn't matter what month that is. Okay? We're just switching the numbers around. Amar Rav Avin bar Rav Ada Amar Rav Menachem Ish Kvar Sha'arim. Ba'amrele Beit Sharim, right? Some people say it was from Beit Sharim. That's where the graves are. Ma'aseh v'nishtaha v'lad echad achar chavero shlosha chodashim. Okay? 3 months. Barehin yoshvin lefaneinu bebeit ha-midrash. And lo and behold, here they are, the famous twins who were born at a 3-month hefresh. Umaninu, and who are they? None other than Yehuda v'chizkiah b'nei Rabbi Chiya. Okay? So there you have it. These were born 3 months later. Okay? Now the Mepharshim tried to grapple with, this seems to contradict what Rav said, because Rav had said earlier, okay, Rav had said, we saw in yesterday's daf, that if she gives birth and then is mepilas shiliah, right, then she has a shiliah after, until 10 days, we're not concerned that it's a different vlad. Okay? Because why? Because he said basically the vlad doesn't, the vlad comes out right away, okay? We assume if there was a vlad, it would have come out at the same time. So this here, we have perfect proof that that's not the case, right? What do we see here? A vlad didn't necessarily come out at the same time. So there's all different approaches. Either maybe Rav didn't know this. Okay, some of the Mepharshim say it's not possible that Rav didn't know because obviously everyone, remember, they're in the same generation, him and Rabbi Chiya. So he must have known about his children. So if he did know, then how could he say it? So there, what he said is, "Ein chosheshin l'vlad acher," which means we're not concerned that maybe there was another vlad. It doesn't mean that it couldn't happen. He just says it's a very rare circumstance, and therefore we're not concerned for it. It could actually happen. The fact that it happened doesn't mean that we rule in all cases that we can assume there's another vlad. So therefore, it doesn't necessarily contradict Rav because you can explain it that way. There's some other explanations that give also, but we'll leave it at that. But wait a minute, how could she have given birth within a hefresh of 3 months? The only possible way, it seems like, was that she got impregnated after being pregnant with the first one. And eini isha mitaberet v'chozeret umitaberet, right? A woman can't be pregnant and then get pregnant again. So amar abaye, tipa achat hayta v'nitchalka l'shtayim, right? Twins, basically, right? There was one tipa of seed that split into two. Echad nigmara tzurato b'tchilat shiva. Ve'echad b'sof tisha. In other words, one was ready to come out early, one was a quick, you know, developed much quicker, and the other one only later. Okay. Shiliah babayit habayit tameh. We're back now to the Mishnah. If you remember the Mishnah, let's just read quickly. Shiliah babayit habayit tameh, kafav amud aleph, lo sha shiliah vlad, ela sha en shiliah below vlad. Right? It's not that we assume that the shiliah is a vlad, but there must have been a vlad inside, and it's smushed, and it's kind of inside the shiliah, and therefore the bayit is tameh. Rabbi Shimon Omer Nimo Kavlad Ad Shelo Yatza. Right, it could have gotten crushed entirely before it came out. Now, we still have to explain according to Rabbi Shimon, and this is going to be our big question today about what is Rabbi Shimon's opinion based on, because even if it's nimoch and crushed, the assumption is it's still, I thought when I read the Mishnah it was different, but it seems that the Gemara understands it's still inside, basically. And as what did we actually, what we said was, it basically got mixed up in the blood and came out with the blood, right? And it's sort of batel to the blood. So we're going to see that today, what exactly his opinion is based on. And we're going to try one track, and then we're going to switch to a different track. Tanu Rabbanan. So now they're going to bring a braita that talks about this also. Shiliyah babayet habayet tameh, lo sha shiliyah vlad, ela she'en shiliyah she'en vladima. Divrei Rabbi Meir. Now we're going to learn Tanakamas Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon. Okay, we're going to learn from this braita. It's not just Rabbi Shimon, it's also Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda. Mitaharim. Okay, so now we get to into a discussion in the braita. Amrulo the Rabbi Meir. So the three of them who think it's Tahor said to Rabbi Meir, Iatamode, Shiimotsuhu Beseta, Lebetachitson, Shehu Tahor, don't you agree with us that if they took out this Shiliah in a cup and moved it to another space, that it would be Tahor? What's their assumption? Because once you move it, or it's gonna get more crushed up and it's not, it's for sure not going to be considered anything of a dead body. So Amar Lehen Aval. Remember, this is the structure we've only seen in Nida. We've seen it, it's the third time already, where he says, yes, in fact, you're right. Vilama. So now they say to him, okay, you agree that it's Tahor in that case. Now why? Lefisha Eino, right? The assumption is, because it's no longer, right? Once you've moved it, the point is that when you move it, it's going to get all crushed up and it's really not going to be considered anything of a dead body. So if you agree with us that if it gets moved to this other place, that already we're going to say it's tahor, so it's because she'eno. So amru lo, kishem she'eno bebeit hachitzon, kacheno bebeit hapnimi. If that's the case, then as soon as it comes out of her body, you should agree it's also, you know, kind of smushed and really nothing. Amar lehen, right? They say it's different. Things that get moved twice get more crushed up and dissolved and are insignificant. But only once, not. So basically, it comes out of the woman's body. Rabbi Meir is still going to say it's like a dead body. If you move it to somewhere else, already that's going to be considered something else. You know, already it's going to be more canceled out. Yativ Rav Papa Acharei de Rav Bibi Kamei de Rav Hamnuna. Okay, so he was sitting behind Rabbi Bibi in front of Rabbi Hamnuna, v'yativ v'ka'amar, and he said the following, my time at Rabbi Shimon, why does Rabbi Shimon say that this is tahor? Kasavar, it must be that he holds, kol tum'a shenitarev ba'mimin acher b'teila. Okay, so Rabbi Hamnuna answers him and says, right, what's the reason? He says, because any tuma that's mixed up with some other type of tuma, even if it's tuma, okay, because what do we have here? We have blood mixed up with the dead body. So the dead fetus mixed up with blood, even though both are tameh and tameh don't merge together, and it becomes canceled in the tameh blood that's inside there. Amar lehu Rav Papa. So Rav Papa responds and says, "Hainu namita mayu to Rabbi Yehuda for Rabbi Yossi." That's also the same reason that Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi think. Now, this is a little weird, because what did we say? Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shimon all say Tahor. We said, what's the reason for Rabbi Shimon? And comes Rav Papa and he says, that's also the reason for Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi. So, Achichu Ale, they laughed at him. And they said, Maishna, Pshita. And why would you even think to distinguish? That's totally obvious, and they totally made fun of him. So Amar Rav Papa, to kind of stand up for himself, he said, Afilu kiha milta, even to say what I said, lema inish velo nisho kame rabbe. It's always better to say it and not be silent in front of your rabbi. Why? Mishum shenemar im navalta bihitnase, vim zamota yad lape. Okay, a few different interpretations of this, but I'll stick with one, which is basically, if you're navalta, like nivul, to do something bad, which is basically to keep your mouth shut, okay, and you don't say anything, in the end, I'm sorry, I said it wrong. Imnavalta is to open your mouth and to make a fool of yourself, okay, or to look silly or to say something maybe unnecessary, but in the end, you'll be mitnaseh, you'll be raised higher. But imzamota, if you keep your mouth shut, yad lapeh, your mouth will ultimately be sealed. What is this basically saying? You should always ask questions, you should always say what you think. Silly. Don't write. Don't worry about looking silly. Better to say more than to say less, right? It's really the whole theory of the Gemara, right? Give your opinion. It's like yesterday. We saw the young one was piping in and saying things. And then, you know, bring what you want to say to the table, even if it's totally irrelevant. Now, the Ritva tries to say why it's relevant, because we're going to see later there's a bit of a debate about Rabbi Shimon, and it could be that he thought that maybe Rabbi Shimon said it for one reason, and Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi had a different reason. And what he was trying to say is, you know, either he was, it's unclear to me, by the way, whether he was asking a question or he was saying it. Was he saying, Hainu nami tamayad Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Yossi, asking the question? Right? It's very likely he was asking a question about it. And, you know, which then they said, what kind of silliness, obviously. Either which way, whether he was stating it or he was questioning it, the Ritva tries to say that he actually had logic behind what he was saying, and it wasn't just unnecessary, whereas some people read it as, even though it was totally unnecessary, he was just trying to spell it out. You know, sometimes also, it's good to spell things out. People might not connect everything, even though it does seem pretty obvious, but like I said, maybe there's another reason, as the Ritva said. Va'azda Rabbi Shimon Latame. So we now say the reason for Rabbi Shimon, according to right now, okay, is that any tumah that has any sort of min acher is canceled. Okay? We don't count that tumah as tumah once it mixes up with something else. So, Azda Rabbi Shimon Latame. Rabbi Shimon goes l'shitato. Ditanya, how do we know? Because it says in a braita, Milo tarvad rekev. Remember what this is. It's a ladle full of the rot of a dead body. This is the halacha l'moshe m'Sinai, that a ladle full of rekev is metame. Okay? Because really, theoretically, it's rotten. You would think maybe it's not even considered, right? It's decayed. Maybe it wouldn't even be metame. Halacha l'moshe m'Sinai, that it is. Now, but amalo tarvad rekev shenafal l'tocho afar koshehu tame. If any sort of dirt gets mixed up with it, it's still tame. Rabbi Shimon mitahel. However, he says, no, if any sort of anything gets mixed up with it, we'll see, even if it's afar mixed with another dead body, it's which might have some dead body stuff in it, no, it's tahor. My time at Rabbi Shimon, what's the reason? Okay, the Braita said this is the case. We're going to now connect this. So what's the reason? Amaraba, eshkachtinu l'rabanan debe rav. Diyatve v'kam, right? We found the students in the house of Rav that were sitting and saying, Eif shar shelo yirbu shtei predot afal al preda achat shel rekev. V'chasir le. What's the reason why this melot harvav rekev that mixes with some afar? Think about the it's grains of decayed body, right? Mixed up with grains of dirt. Now what happens? Any right? The grains are sort of viewed as independent from each other. So in any given spot, there could be two grains of afar that are mevatel, nullified, one grain of this rekev, in which case it's going to have less, in which case it's not going to anymore have a velo tarvad. In order to, for rekev to be metame, has to be a ladleful. Once it's in a mixture, some of it gets canceled to some of the other mixture. Okay, now this is all a debate about how you view mixtures. If you look at the whole thing as a whole, well, maybe it's if there's more rekev, according to this reason, it doesn't matter, because in a certain location, some of it will end up being canceled out and it won't be there anymore. So that was what the Rabbanan de Bei Rav said, according to Rabbah. And then, Va'amina lehu, but I said to them, Adaraba, no, it's the reverse. Eif shar shelo yirbu shtei predo rekev al preda achat afar. V'nafish le shiure, it should be nafish, not nafil. Nafish is, dafka the opposite. If you have a melo tarvad, in any given place, there could be more rekev than afar. It will overcome the afar, and then the afar basically turns into rekev. So you end up with a larger shear of rekev, and then of melo tarvad rekev, which means that for sure you're going to have more. Therefore, he rejects that whole logic. Okay, so we tried to say that the logic was the same, because it's all about the dam canceling out the dead body, right, the dead fetus. And that's why he says tahor. But now we see that when it comes to the rekev, that's not the reason. In which case, we're going to say, you can't say it's the same logic as the rekev. Ela Amar Rabba, he says, Hainu Tamad Rabbi Shimon, we're now outside of our case. Our case is the Shiliyah. We tried to compare the Shiliyah to the rekev, that it's the same thing about Bitul, that some of the blood will cancel out some of the fetus. Oh, by the way, what's the issue here? Forgot to mention. A fetus, if it has a kezayit of basar, then it's metame even if there's, right? That's tumat me. But in this case, even if a little bit gets canceled, there's still a kezayit. But In this case, we're at an early stage, and there isn't yet a, it hasn't yet been developed, the fetus. So in which case, the only way you could say the fetus is going to be metame is if you have the whole body of a mit. And as soon as the blood cancels a bit of it, right, kind of like these grains mix in, a little part of it gets canceled, it's already chaser, it's already not metame. That was the logic. However, they say, that can't be the reason for the rekev, because you could look at it the reverse, you know, and theoretically the mate could cancel some of the blood, and then, you know, right, it doesn't work. That's not the logic. So now we're zooming in just on the rekev, which is no longer going to be related to the shiliah, and only later, we brought the rekev to compare the shiliah. We now said we can't compare. Let's understand what the reason for rekev is, and then we're going to have to come back to shiliah and understand, well, then what's the reason for shiliah? So, El Amar Rabba, Hainu Tamad Rabbi Shimon, Sofo Ketchilato. Okay, when it comes to rekev, the end of it is like the beginning of it. Matchilato, we have to read on until we understand this all. Matchilato nasalo davar acher gan gilon. Af sofo nasalo davar acher gan gilon. Okay, a word we've never come across. Gan gilon, they explain as it nullifies. Some people say it comes from, I think, a Greek word I saw in the Koran, I have to remember, something that means, I think, to surround and like somehow cancel out. I don't remember exactly what they said. If someone has the Quran, they could look there. But anyway, it basically, in this context, it means to nullify. So what do they say here? In the beginning, rekev, if it's mixed with davar acher, the davar acher nullifies it. So likewise, b'sofo, which is where we're at now, the later stage of it, nasalo davar acher gangilon. In other words, any rekev that's mixed with anything, that's rekev that's mixed both in an early stage and a later stage with anything else, is not going to be considered rekev. And this is all, if you remember, back to the beginning, I told you that rekev is a halacha l'moshe misinai. And therefore, once you say something is a halacha l'moshe misinai, you can say that there's very particular circumstances, and then it's only rekev, and you can't learn from there to shiliyah, because it has nothing to do with shiliyah. So now we're going to see, where is this, where do we know that tchilato nasalo davar acher gangilon? Mayhi, where do we know this from? Ditanya, ezehu met sheyesh lo rekev, ve'ezehu met she'en lo rekev. Right? When do we count the rekev as mitame, and when do we say it's not? Nikbar arom, if it's the body's buried without any clothing on it, be'aron shel shayish o al gabei ritzpa shel avanim, either in an aron, a coffin made of marble, or on a ground, a bed of rocks, zehu met sheyesh lo rekev. Why? Because there's nothing that's going to be mixed up with that. Right? There's no clothing, there's no dirt, it's marble, right? There's nothing there, or rocks. If it's buried in clothing, then the parts of the clothing will end up getting mixed up with the rekev. Those things will have materials in them that will end up getting mixed up with the rekev. And then that won't be considered rekev because it's not pure rekev. In order for rekev to be metame, it has to be pure rekev and nothing else mixed in. This is interesting. Rekev and metame only if someone died by natural circumstances. But if he was killed, then not. Look in Rashi, look what Rashi says. It's right on the same line there, around the same line. We'll drop above. Okay, the assumption is blood will drip out of his body if he's killed, let's say, by the sword or something. And it's already considered now a mate that's chaser, and it says in the Gemara there that mate shechaser doesn't have rekev. So therefore we say, by the way, this is just an added thing, not connected to our issue really, but it won't be a rekev if it's dead because it's the body, if it was killed because the body is missing. Gufa. Male tarvad rekev shenafala tocho afar kol shehu tameh v'rabi shimon miteher. So now we're going to go into this issue a little bit more about the malo tarvad rekev, a ladle full of rekev that falls into, by the way, they say it's like a handful of a person. That's the amount, which obviously depends on how big your hand is, but okay, the average hand. If it falls into any kind of afar, it's still tameh, according to Tanakama, v'rabi shimon miteher, as we've seen. Melo tarvad rekev shenitpazer babayit, Okay, now again, they have the same machloket if it comes to not rekev in a ladle, but if it kind of gets scattered in, around the house, habayit tameh, according to Tanakhama, v'rabbi shimo mitaher. So now this seems like the same thing. What do we need them both for? Utsricha, we need them both. Why? De'iashminam become maite. If we only had the first case, our case, what would we have thought? Bahikam rabana mishum de'machnif. There, it was all gathered in one place, and that's why Chachamim say it's mitame. But aval nitpazer, but if it got scattered all over the place, emamodulu the Rabbi Shimon, maybe they would have agreed with Rabbi Shimon already, it's not mitame anymore because it's all scattered around the house. De'ein ma'ahil v'choseru ma'ahil. Because we don't view it as, right, these separate parts are together. V'iashminam baha, and now the same logic would go for if we only had the second one. You would say, baha ma'arabi shimon, de'ein ma'ahil choseru ma'ahil. Da'ka, if it's nitvazer babayit, that's where Rabbi Shimon says it's tahor. Aval baha, but if we're all clumped in one, if we're all in one pile, ema modeluhu the rabbanam, maybe they would agree with rabbanam that it's mitame, therefore it's tricha. Tanya Idach, another braita. Malay tarvad ve'od. You had a malay tarvad and a little bit more. Ve'od afar beit hakvarot. And mixed up with that malay tarvad, rekev, you had dirt from a cemetery. Now, dirt from a cemetery is a mixture of dirt and rekev. So now you have a malay tarvad of rekev mixed up with afar beit hakvarot, which also has rekev in it. So now you're going to end up with more. Tamei. V'rabbi Shimon mitaher. Shimon says, no, this is still tahor. So now we're going to see why. My time, I odor rabbanan. Lefi she'ef shalom malo tarvad ve'od afar beit kfarot she'ein bo malo tarvad rekev. You can't have a case where you already started with malo tarvad and then you added afar beit kfarot, which now is going to have also rekev in it. Of course, you're going to have a malo tarvad rekev in that mixture. And hashad amar tamad Rabbi Shimon mishum sofoket chilat. Okay, period. Okay? So, and when it comes to, we already know what Rabbi Shimon says, which is Rabbi Shimon's going to say, obviously it's tahor because you have the afar mixed in. And what did he say? You need pure rekev in order to be tameh. Okay, that was all our distraction. We got off on a tangent about rekev. But now we want to go back to our main issue, which is, well, what's the reason for Rabbi Shimon by Shiliah? We tried to say the reason was, because it's like rekev, that we thought rekev was all about some grains of afar are going to cancel out the rekev. And likewise here, some of the dam will cancel out some of the body. You won't have a full body anymore, a full, you know, fetus. And therefore, you're going to end up without tumah. But we already rejected that and said no. So now we want to figure out what's the reason. So hashtad amar tamad Rabbi Shimon mishum sofoket tchilato, which only has to do with rekev, gabesh shiliyah my taima. So what's his reason? Amar Rabbi Yochanan mishum bitul berov naguba. It's a classic din of bitul berov. They assume there's more blood than fetus, which means that we're going to basically cancel out the fetus to the blood. The blood is going to cancel out the fetus, and it's as if there's no fetus there at all. That's how bitul berov works. Va'azda Rabbi Yochanan l'tame, and Rabbi Yochanan actually goes l'shitato because he says elsewhere, Tam Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov, Amru davar echad. Remember, we have this many times in Shas that they try to categorize. Oh, this and this, they're really the same thing. So where did he say this? So Rabbi Shimon, hadamahan. That's our case. Rabbi Eliezer, detanya Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov omer behema gasa sheshafa charatam. Okay, a large animal discharges a big chunk of blood. You have to bury. Now, this is an animal that's never given birth before. So there's a concern that this chunk of blood that came out is a fetus. If it's a fetus, well, number one, it has sanctity to it because it's kadosh merechem, even though it was never born, and therefore it has to be buried. And the next birth is exempt from bechor because this is considered a birth. V'tane Rabbi Chiya Allah. However, there's a bit of a problem here because Rabbi Chiya says, "Eina mitama lo b'maga v'lo b'masa." Now this is a little weird. If it's a dead fetus, well then it should have tumat nevela on it. So why does he say, "No mitama lo b'maga v'lo b'masa"? Not by touching and not by carrying. U'me'achar she'eina mitama lo b'maga v'lo b'masa. So why are we burying it then? In other words, something doesn't make sense. We're only going to bury it if it has sanctity. If it has sanctity, that means it's a dead body. If it's a dead body, well, then it should be mitame b'maga umasa. So we're going to have to explain that really it's not considered a dead body, and yet why do we bury it? Amai tikaver kedei lefarsima shibtuamina b'chora. We want to publicize that this is patur, that this is exempts the next birth from Bechora, and the only way to publicize it is by having a burial. If we don't actually bury it, people won't remember, you know, they'll say, oh, what's going on? That person, now again, this goes back to when we talked about all the animals, who's keeping track of all these animals, and who knows, and who are we worried is going to notice, but we want to make it clear that it's Ptura Amina Bechora. So what do they say now? Am of Vlad Me'al Yehib. So what do you see? If it's Ptura Amina Bechora, it must be really a Vlad. V'amai Tani Rabbi Chia, still we're stuck with, still, then, if we treat it as a vlad for inyana b'chor, so it should be considered a novella. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, mishum bitul b'rov naguba. What does he say? It's not tameh. In other words, there's two things going on. Yes, it's a birth, 100%, because if it wasn't a birth, and the whole thing they're saying is, we want to make sure you know there was a birth. Okay, so if there's a birth, it should be metame. So what do we say? No, those are two different laws. Yes, there's a birth. Next one is not a bechor. However, when it comes to dinei tum'ah, well, this chunk of blood, the fetus is batel to the blood, and therefore, it's not metame. Okay, for din of bitul berov. So there you have, right? Mishum bitul berov naguba, and here that's what he says. It's the same thing here. Okay, this all goes back to the first line, which was Ditanya, and that's what did he say? Rabbi Yochanan said, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, and Rabbi Shimon said the same thing. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov said here, Be'maga sasha shavach haradam harezo tikaveru p'tura mina b'chora, right? And Rabbi Chia said about his opinion, Eina mitama lo b'maga v'lo b'masa, and the only way we can explain that is to say, he must hold bitul berov, otherwise we wouldn't be treating it, if we don't treat it as a vlad, it wouldn't be a vlad from before either. So we now say, they both say the same thing. Amar Rabbi Ami, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Umode Rabbi Shimon she'imot me'al leida. Okay, again, if we're going to say the whole thing here is bitul berov, just like with the behema, we said that the mother, right, is the next vlad that comes out is not a bechor because it was considered a leida. Likewise here, even though we say the shiliyah is not matame in the house, we're still going to say that there was a birth, which means that the mother needs to bring a korban leida. Okay. Amar le'ahu saba le'Rabbi Ami. So that an old person came, a zaken, and he came and he said to Rabbi Ami, "Ezbera lach tama de Rabbi Yochanan." I'll tell you why Rabbi Yochanan thinks that she still has to bring a korban yoledet, even though she didn't actually, right? It wasn't a real birth. Damar kra. Remember, the korban le'dah is brought on hapalot from a certain stage, right? Even on miscarriages from a certain stage, it is. So what about this one? This seems like an early stage. But what does he say? Damar kra isha ki tazliya v'yalda zachar afilu lo yalda ela ke'ein shehizliya tme'a leida. Even if she only gave birth to something that was almost like the zera, right, which is basically it's just coming out like blood at the end, it's still tme'a leida. Okay, so therefore he's going to say that this case is tme'a leida and she has to bring a korban. Okay, that's it. Today. I'll stop here because the next thing kind of goes into the next page and better to start with it tomorrow.